This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
That's right. That's right. It's Friday in Sacramento. Kevin Whitey Gleason and in San Francisco getting ready for his pregame duties for the Kings and Suns after his one-day Harrison Barnes sabbatical. Kyle Draper joining us. Are you ready to go? Did you get your head in a good place after the slings and arrows of Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm in a much better place,
good,
man.
Good for you.
I went for a long walk yesterday. You know, it was raining. No umbrella or anything. I just wanted to absorb the environment and be one with nature yesterday. After all that Harrison Barnes slander, man, I had to take yesterday off. It was rough, man.
I don't want to start us down that path already, but I will say this. Jerry was in for yesterday. Jerry had some interesting things to say about that. Just real quick. I don't mean to open that can of worms, but Jerry said, you know, and I'll bet you'll agree with this. He said, you know, Harrison Barnes is like one of their most efficient shooters. You look at his points per shot. It's really good. And maybe it's incumbent upon certainly him to a degree, but also the team to maybe get him a few more shots. And that was one view that I really hadn't heard on Harrison Barnes.
Hey, I like Jerry. I agree. You know, and Mike Brown outed himself saying he doesn't call any plays for HB.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should.
Maybe.
You know? Maybe he should.
Yeah. The in-season tournament, we know it's been a success. We had some numbers yesterday. The viewership is up locally and nationally, and attendance is up. And I know, Kyle, we've been singing the praises of the in-season tournament, but especially if you're a Kings fan, yesterday, last night, that was hard to watch, wasn't it, from a Kings fan standpoint?
Yeah. It was a double kick in the gut, right?
That's it.
As much as we love Tyrese Halliburton, seeing him winning and advancing, it got to make you feel a certain way. That's one thing. And then the Pelicans just roll over and play dead like LeBron James and the Lakers are their masters. I'm like, this was not the same Pelicans team that rolled into Golden 1 Center, clicking on all cylinders, hitting all their threes. I'm like, what happened to that team?
Right.
And so LeBron and the Lakers advancing. Tyrese smiling. He's the darling of the NBA. Yeah, it's kind of tough. A tough Friday if you're a Kings fan.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the Tyrese thing goes, I love Tyrese. I know you know him. Wonderful guy. I don't really have a hard time with seeing him play well. You know, you do kind of, he used to be here. But I love him. I love watching him play. What bothers me is I know every time he plays really well on a national stage, there's going to be those idiots, especially nationally, that are going to come out and say, well, maybe the Kings should have kept him. It's like, brother, you don't understand. That was not an option. Right. It was not an option. That drives me crazy.
It drives me crazy, too. And, you know, as I was driving down here, I'm in San Francisco getting ready for pre and post game. I was thinking about it. And, you know, we say it's a win. It was a win-win. It was exactly what both teams needed at the time. Now, if you want to, you know, if Tyrese turns into a Hall of Famer 20 years down the line and we can look back, maybe, you know, those people who weren't present at the time don't understand why that trade needed to be made. But you're right. There was no other move involving Indiana that did not include Tyrese Halliburton. And if you ask Monty McNair, if you ask, you know, Kevin Pritchard out there in Indiana. Yeah. Would you do it again? I bet both guys would say yes.
Right.
And that's the thing. And, you know, as great as Tyrese is and as well as he's going to play every single time, Whitey, you're right. Every single time he goes for 20 and 10 or his team wins a game. Yep. See, they should have kept Tyrese.
Yeah.
It wasn't about keeping Tyrese. It was about moving this team forward. If they still had Tyrese on this roster right now and no Domantas Sabonis, we would not be sitting here talking about a playoff caliber team.
Right. And as we know, the Kings got to the playoffs, as you just said, because they got Sabonis for Tyrese, and the Pacers are playing well. And when they had both, when they had Tyrese and when they had De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. It didn't work. So yeah, that's what drives me crazy. I understand, you know, Kings fans like, oh gosh, it stings a little good for him. But the fans say, oh, see, the Kings blew it. That's not, you don't understand what happened. Then the other thing, as you pointed out from last night, that wasn't the same Pelicans team that was at the Golden One. I wonder if they literally were even the same guys. And then you had Zion saying after the game, you know, I need to bring a little more intensity. Oh, it's hard to stomach after watching that.
It was, man. And he's like, yeah, you know, maybe I was a little too chill last night. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, this, first of all, it's the in-season tournament semifinals. Why are you going in there all nice and chill anyway? Like, it's clear that you still have some growth to do when it comes to winning basketball. And I'm still waiting for Brandon Ingram to hit a shot.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't miss against us.
I know. Eyes closed. He wasn't even looking at the basket against the Kings. That's going in. Yeah.
Remember after that game, man, we came in the next day and we're like, man, this guy's like Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the second coming of Kevin Durant. He had 9 points last night. Like, what? I know the Lakers, I think they're going to be a good team. They're a good team. I get it. But no one played well for the Pelicans. I mean, it was night and day. We were ready to anoint them. If I'm correct, Whitey, we said on Tuesday that the Pelicans might be a better team than the Kings.
In all fairness, I said that yesterday. I don't think you. I remember you saying you're not willing to go that far.
Owning that one. Good. I'm glad you're owning
I did.
That
Mark Spears came on and he said, you know, that's a team that could go to the conference finals.
Yeah.
But then yesterday, it just wasn't the same team. Not the same team.
Not the same team. And I'm looking at the plus minus, and we understand plus minus is sort of skewed. Obviously, it's not the best stat. But when you have Zion minus 33. Ingram minus 33, CJ McCollum minus 38. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Those guys didn't miss anything at Golden One Center on Monday. It's frustrating. It sort of reminds me of the playoffs last season. You lose to the Warriors, and then the Warriors go against the Lakers, and they get spanked up. And you sit there and think all offseason, man, if we could have just got to the Lakers, if we could have just played the Lakers, we would have beat them. Same thing here with the in-season tournament. It's like, if we could have just got past the Pelicans, we would have got our shot at the Lakers, and who knows, we could have beat them. We could have shown, I guarantee you, we would have shown a better fight than what the Pelicans did last night.
I got to be honest, who was it that you said was minus 33? Was it Ingram was minus 33?
Ingram and Zion, okay. Both minus 33.
If I'm Ingram, I'm going, you know what? We as a team, we were minus 41 as a team, so my minus 33.
I was a plus.
I mean, that was terrible. Then last night we had Shaq and we had Charles Barkley calling out Zion for him not being in shape, that's kind of funny. Those two guys calling out somebody.
Those two guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But then the story came out today in the Times Picayune from Christian Clark that the Pelicans have repeatedly stressed to Zion Williamson the need to improve in areas of diet and conditioning. And according to the report, he's like, I'm all right, thank you. He's just ignoring them. So that's the team that beat the Kings.
That's the team that – and I go back to – remember he had that press conference earlier this season about buying in and maybe not buying in to what Willie Green was doing. And now, you know, you hear this about the teams trying to get him to get in shape, trying to get him to, it sounds like he's on his own program.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was watching Charles and Shaq and they were talking about, not only can this guy be an all-star, he could be the face of the league. One of the best player in the league, they said. And, you know, it's, we know when Zion's at his best, he's a load, like literally to handle. But now, man, it's going to be sad if he just wasted away. He could get you 20-6 a night. He'll have a nice career, 20-6. But this guy was supposed to be a transformative, generational kind of talent, and he's not showing it right now.
Yeah, he's one of those guys at his best who it's hard to compare him to anybody because it's like, well, there's never quite been anybody like him. I remember when he was in college and people were trying to do that. And the closest I could come up with was, well, he's kind of like a Sean Kemp. But remember, he was a good shooter in college, too. But back in July, Zion admitted that it was, quote, hard, end quote, hard to eat healthy given all the money he's making. I guess that's understandable. But that's a problem if you're the team paying him all that money.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, though. And maybe I'm using this as an excuse for myself, you know, but these guys got private chefs and everything.
Sure.
But there is so much food in the NBA. like, you know, even as someone on the outside, you know, I don't play, obviously, but I gain weight during the season because there's food everywhere before the game, after the game, on the plane, when you arrive at the hotel the next morning, the, you know, there's food everywhere. And so that's why it takes a level of discipline,
of course,
as a professional. Like, there's no reason. And like you said, this guy gets the best of the best. You got the best trainers in the world. You get the best chefs. And so you need that internal discipline. And I get it. It's hard. You know, you got the cookies there. You got, it's just, it's really tough. But that's why you're a professional, and he needs to act like it when it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, and I don't travel around the league like you do, but I understand that, and it is difficult. The thing is, if you're paying a guy that much money, as much as he's getting, you're hoping, if you're whatever team, you're hoping that to the player, winning is important enough where he's going to have that discipline. And not everybody has that, and that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's a human being, but, you know, you want – as a team, when you draft somebody and you make them, this is our guy, you're hoping that deep down that guy wants to win above all else as much as we do. You don't always find that guy. Maybe Zion's not that guy. Everyone would prefer to win, but it's hard for him. So, you know, it's a difficult situation for a team that's trying to make him their foundational piece.
Yeah, and, you know, as I'm driving in, I'm thinking they only go as far as he takes them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though Brandon Ingram had a bad game, CJ had a bad game, those guys, for the most part, they'll deliver. They're good players. The X factor, the unknown, is Zion.
Yeah.
You know, we know who Ingram is. We know who CJ is. You know, we've seen Zion at a high level. But I think he's the reason, if they don't advance, it will be because of him. If they do advance, it will be because of him.
Yes.
And he's the X factor for that team.
Yeah, I agree. And excuse me. But, yeah, I also feel like watching them over the last couple years, everything's kind of on hold. They're always kind of waiting for him. And a couple years ago, when they knew he wasn't going to be part of their play-in, they actually played better because, like, all right, he's not going to be here. But ever since then, they're kind of like, all right, are you in? Are you out? And as you said, he even admitted, I'm trying to buy in. Everything they're doing as a basketball team is on hold until they figure out whether he is all the way in, he's our guy, he's committed, or he's not. And they're just kind of in a state of limbo. And yet, they still beat the bejeebies out of the Kings three times this year.
Exactly. And it's like, that's what's so frustrating about it. I think what we're seeing, and as a Kings Nation and Kings family, we just have to accept the Pelicans team that beat us three times, that might have been their best. Like, we got the best of the Pelicans. They've played lights out of their mind. What we saw last night was the complete opposite. So they're somewhere in between there. They're not as good as what we saw on Monday, and obviously they're not as bad as what we saw last night. But it is frustrating. It's like, my gosh, you get all the way to the semifinals, and you lay that kind of egg? We could have did that. Like, mm-hmm. Adam Silver, we should have been there.
And, yes.
And that's what's so frustrating, too, from a Kings perspective, right? Whitey, if you handle your business Monday, man. Who knows? We could be prepared for a game on Saturday, the championship, and it's a little frustrating that we lost to that team.
You know what, Kyle? How about this? This is a new idea for the tournament. Have a committee that selects who advances. So, like the college football, who cares who won? The committee says, no, we think the Kings should go on, right?
Yeah, it's not about the record or the results or anything. Right. Like, seriously. Like, what if Adam Silver and his cohorts, his cronies said, you know what? Lakers is nice. But Pelicans, I think I'd rather
would
be. When you think about it, that shows you just how crazy college football is, though,
yes.
When you think about
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes. Now, Kings and Suns tonight, who's playing, who's not?
Yeah.
Kyle will have that for us when we come right back. Also, Tyrese mocks Dame. What did you think of Dame's response? That and more when we come right back here. It's a Friday with a Drive, guys. Yes, on Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
On the Drive Chat, YouTube, we got this from Ward. Kings have to win by 15 or more tonight. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Ooh. I think he just feels like they need to win by that much. I hope he's not thinking, you know, the tournament, the point differential, because we're done with that.
No, I hope not. I hope not. But no, they got to win tonight, man. And I know we're going to talk about it here with who's out for the Phoenix Suns. You know, this is an opportunity for the Kings tonight.
Yeah. What do we have? First of all, you do have the report, right? The injury report is out, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Kings fans are wondering about whether Keegan Murray is going to be available tonight. What can you tell us?
He is available, not even listed on the injury report. So that's great news. And obviously we're waiting to see Keegan string together a few games. Obviously when you deal with the back, it's going to linger and mess you up a little bit, but it's encouraging. So Keegan Murray's a go today.
Yay.
Chris Duarte is still questionable. Mm. Alex Len is still out, but for Phoenix, I mean, they're missing like three starters, Grayson Allen, Brad Beal, obviously, and no Kevin Durant tonight.
Okay.
And Damian Lee off.
Yeah. So that's
wow tonight. So this Suns team is battered, bruised, banged up.
Yep. I'm sorry, Kyle. I apologize if I interrupted. We lost your audio just a little bit there. We heard you say the Suns are battered, bruised, and banged up. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
We got you. So, yeah, clearly an opportunity here for the Kings to get a win. And they need a win, right, in a sense. If you lose tonight, obviously, it's not like your season's over. But the way things feel after that loss and what they've lost two or three, the Kings could really use a little feel-good pick-me-up tonight on the road.
Yeah, especially when you look at the schedule upcoming for the Sacramento Kings. You got this one tonight, you know, against the Phoenix Suns, who, you know, in name is a good team. Obviously, they're not putting out a good roster, their full roster tonight, but this would be a nice win. Then you got Brooklyn at home, but then it gets a little tougher. You got L.A. in L.A., talking about the Clippers. You got Oklahoma City at home. And so you don't want to, you know, Mike Brown looks at the season in five-game chunks. And so let's say he's looking at it, you know, Clippers, Denver, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Brooklyn. Right now, they're 1-2. You want to be at least 3-2, you know? And so think about it. If you win tonight and then win on Monday, you're 3-2. You're right where you need to be. And so I think not only that, when you look at the standings, Whitey, and we'll talk about that obviously throughout the day here, but when you look at the standings, this Kings team just needs some feel-good wins.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this fan base needs like a 4 or 5-game win streak right now. You know, I feel like even though their record is better than it was a season ago, it doesn't feel as good. Like, yes, last season, everything was, you know, sunshine and rainbows and lollipops. Nobody could do anything wrong. This year, it seems like even though they have a better record, everybody wants to point fingers. What's going on with the Kings? How come we're not better? It's crazy to think that. So we need a good 4 or 5-game winning streak just to, you know, get Kings fans something to be, you know, everything's okay. Everything's good.
I feel like it's understandable that expectations have changed, and so that changes the perception that fans have of everything. I think, and I read this, I think the Kings Herald made this statement, and I agree with this. It feels surprising that it's happened so quickly, right? We're not even a month into the season, and already it's, oh, no, what happened? We're not the same team as last year when, as you said, I mean, they're still 3 games over 500.
Whitey, it happened the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Remember we had those losses against Houston?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what things, you know, we started looking at the trade deadline already. And it's like
guilty. Right?
We did. We on our show. We started, all right, who's available? Can we get Siakam right now or what? You know, like it's and I get it, Kings fans. The expectations are higher right now. But when you look around the league, only two or three teams are really playing at that high level. Boston, Minnesota, and I would throw in OKC. After that, Milwaukee has some issues. We saw it last night. Philly struggling. Even Denver hasn't played that great to start the season. And so everybody's dealing with something except maybe two or three teams. So I think we need to chill out. And later tonight on NBC Sports California during the pregame show, here's a plug, we're going to do a segment called Chill or No Chill. Should the fans chill out on this or no? They're right not to be chilling because there's a lot of angst going on right now. And I just think we need to calm down just a little bit.
Here's why that's hard. I agree with you, but here's why that's hard. In some of the losses, as you know, we just had one. The Kings have looked a little lost. You know, it's one thing, 11-8. Okay, well, that's not bad. But you mentioned the Houston, especially the first Houston game. Actually, both the Houston games. Some of the games the Kings have got, they've gotten rolled, and they've looked like they're not sure what they're doing, whether that's right or wrong. That's one of the things that I think has been troubling, despite the winning record to this point.
Yeah, but, you know, and I get it. The eye test, right? I always go back to that. Even though the record is better, it just doesn't feel or look the same.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, and I also think, you know, as a fan of this franchise, you know, I look at it as, uh-oh, we're winning some games, but I don't know if this is sustainable. Is the bottom going to fall out? And I think Kings fans are a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
sure, the record's better, obviously, but, you know, they just don't play as well. And, you know, we had Jay Triano on last week, and he said the same thing. You know, the record's the same, but we're just not playing as well. And I think Kings fans, and I'm going to lump myself into this, I'm nervous that last year's 48 wins becomes this year's 46 or 45, you know, which it would be fine, but I still want this team to be a top four team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want them to be a playing team. And I think there's a sense of anxiousness, anxiety about that possibility.
Sure. And I think I'm with you. I think fewer wins would certainly be tolerable depending on where you end up. But last year, we thought we knew what the Kings were, and they were one of the best offensive teams we've ever seen from anybody. And this year, they're not that. That's a troubling thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. We thought we knew what they were. And this year, they're in some ways, they're not playing as well, but they're not even playing the same way. So our next segment, we'll get to some of the things that Mike Brown is talking about that he needs the Kings to do better. So we'll get to some specifics there. Before we get to that, I wanted to back up and address Tyrese Haliburton doing the Dame time, kind of mocking Dame time. And as you know, yesterday Tyrese Haliburton made a big clinching shot in the in-season tournament game. Big win over the Bucks for Tyrese and the Pacers. And then he did, like, what time is it? What time is it? So here was Dame Lillard's response after the game to Tyrese mocking him.
I learned as a kid, you know,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dish it out, you got to be willing to take it. And for as many times as I've done it to people, you know, I can't be upset when somebody else does it. You know what I mean? I think that's also a sign of respect and acknowledgement for, you know, knowing my history and knowing what I do. And, you know, I didn't mind it. It was what it was. I've also known that, you know, when you having your moment, it's important to be careful and to be humble when you having your moments, because you just never know how the tables turn and when they're going to turn. So I respected it. You know, I didn't think we shook hands after the game.
I like that a lot. To me, it's like, yeah, I'm okay with it, but, you know, he needs to be careful. Just be careful, but okay, for now, it's a play on. I like that.
Yeah, and if you dish it out, like Dame said, you got to be able to take it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guarantee you Dame has filed that in his memory bank.
Yep.
And next time these two teams see each other, he's going to try to go at Tyrese's head. And so usually, you know, you don't hear a star say that in terms of, yeah, it's cool, he can do it.
Right,
you know, usually it's like, you know, because, you know, the question being asked, it's like, the media is trying to create something a little bit here, you know, a little angst, and Dame didn't take the bait. Yeah, sure, he could do it. It's a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But inside, he's like, I'm going to see you next time.
Yep.
I'm going to get you back. I loved it. You know, watching Tyrese play, he is a joy to watch. I'm not going to say anything bad about Tyrese Haliburton. Even though he's one of the Pacers now, I still root for him. I still cheer for him. But it is a little weird, you know, because you know what's going to come after that. It's like you want him to do great. You want him to have a 40-point triple-double. But then you also know in the back of your mind the next day or later that night, like you said, those people on the internet, on Twitter, will be like, see, I told you so.
Kings,
you
know, gonna kings, so,
Right, but here's the thing. I don't hear that when De'Aaron drops 43 in a game. You know, it's
good,
like
it's
crickets. So,
Yep, you're right. The thing I like about Dame – his response reminds me of way back when Ronnie Lott was on the 49ers, and you talked to him about these guys say this or those guys say that. And he's like, yeah, you know, they're really good. But then when it came time to take care of business on the field, finish breakfast, he always did that. So I'm sure Dame has that in the back of his mind. Appreciate that response. And I, you know, tip of the cap to Tyrese too, right? For having the basketball rack to do that in the first place.
Cojones,
And
at the end of the day, Whitey is entertainment, right?
Uh-huh.
And that was, you knock down the shot, you look at the watch, that's entertainment. Fans like love it. And here we are the following day. They're talking about it on ESPN. They're talking about it right here, Sactown Sports 1140. It creates content for the NBA. And so it's a good thing for the league, I think.
Yeah. Drapes in San Francisco getting ready for Kings pregame. I'm here in Sacramento. When we come back, Mike Brown on what exactly he needs from his Kings on the defensive end as we roll on this Friday with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Quick look here, if I may, at some of the comments we're getting on the Drive chat on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. Somebody wants to know, Whitey, where are you going to binge watch the game tomorrow night? Watching a game is not a binge watch, right, Kyle? That's not a binge watch. You watch a game, you're not binge watching anything.
No, it's not like it's episodes, like you got eight episodes you got to watch. I mean, that's the amateur hour. Who said that? My gosh, come on.
Do you binge watch NFL Red Zone, though?
I mean, all day, Or like if Kyle, you know, let's say Kyle had some assignment, like, man, I got to watch the first 20 games the Kings played this year. You know, that'd be binge watching.
That's binge watching.
Yeah, but watching, binge watching the game. I wonder if someone's, you know, having some fun. I used to work with a guy that used to say, like, if he watched two episodes of a show in a row, he's like, I binge watched. Like, no, you didn't.
No, that's... That's a back-to-back. You just had a back-to-back. That's it, right?
Right.
That's not binge watch. Come
on the chat, Austin Louie points out, the Kings haven't played too many bad teams yet. Maybe only the Jazz and the Trailblazers. You can actually go to Basketball Reference and check that strength of schedule. And I know they, as you said, the schedule gets pretty tough here. That holds some water, doesn't it, Kyle? I haven't really checked that out, but that's a good point, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Because think about it, you played the Warriors three times, and depending on what you think of the Warriors or not, they're still a tough team. They're tough to beat. You played the Lakers twice already. You're about to play OKC twice, Clippers twice, and so I'm on this website right now, Guru, and it's let me see here. It says the Kings have played the 13th. Most difficult schedule.
Okay, so middle of the
in
pack.
The NBA. Yeah, middle of the pack. But, you know, you're right. We haven't, you know, only one game against the Spurs. You haven't played the Grizzlies yet. I'm talking about the dregs of the Western Conference right now. I think if you get past, man, I'm just looking at the schedule. I'm trying to think of a portion of the schedule, Whitey, that is easy, actually. Like, you may have two games here, maybe three games there, but every night is going to be tough. You got to stretch Portland, Atlanta, Memphis, you know, and Charlotte. I guess those four could be, you know, but three of those are on the road. And so I don't know if we're going to have a streak where it's like five or six just bad teams in a row or anything like that. It looks like the way the NBA has structured it, you're going to face, you know, whether it's the Phoenixes, the Denvers, you know, Minnesota sprinkled in there. And so to that point on the YouTube, but I don't think it's going to be like that at all this season.
That's the nature of being in the West this year. And Kyle just did some check, and it's, he says that according to the, you know, you don't know how teams' records are going to change, and this would all, but based on what their records are now, the Kings have like the 12th hardest schedule the rest of the way. So again, right in the middle, but again, that could change depending on how teams play. We also have this from Compio on the Drive Chat. Compio is like, he's one of our top viewers, chatters, but I don't know, Kyle, I got to call him out on this one. he says, Halliburton starting to remind me of the best guard, in my opinion, Magic Johnson. And I appreciate that, but no, he's not.
No, hold on, Whitey. No, I'm backing Compio up on this.
Magic Johnson?
Weren't you the same guy that compared Brock Purdy to Joe Montana?
Yes, I've done that. Well, that was Jesse Sopolu, who used to play center for Joe Montana.
You co-signed on that, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you why I can't go there, aside from
the
obvious.
Because Magic's our guy. We both love Magic.
What really, really separated Magic is look out, because if he can see you, he may throw a pass to you. And it may hit you in the back of the head. Tyrese is a great passer, but he's not like Magic Johnson level court vision, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he may fail in that part, but the love and the joy with which he plays the game.
Okay.
You know, and that's where I was looking at it.
Yeah.
At, you know, the big smile. You know, Magic had the smile coming down the court, and he made spectacular passes. Same thing with Tyrese, you know. I just think the joy of basketball.
Yeah,
you can,
I see
you
that.
You can compare those two, I think. Because, you know, when you look at Magic Johnson, and we both watched him growing up, every time he stepped on the floor, it was a show. He was fun to watch. And I think Tyrese is starting to get into that category where he's like must-see TV because he plays with this joy. And so I'm not saying he's going to be a Magic Johnson, but I could see if we're going to pick it, you know, pull some things here or there, I could see the comparison.
All right. If he reminds Compio of Magic, who am I to say he doesn't? Okay, that's fine.
Right.
But remember, Compio is a guy who says he was at Magic's first game. And for someone who was there with his, you know, his cousin got him tickets or whatever. So thank you, Compio. And Manny Too Legit. Whitey Drapes, who do you think's winning the in-season tournament tomorrow? I don't care. I don't know about you, Kyle. What do you got?
Yeah. I'm trying to debate, am I actually going to be tuning in, to be honest with you? You know, am I going to sit down and watch it start to finish? Me and the kids going to hang Christmas decorations and stuff like that. Let me think. I'm going to say the Lakers.
Not that I care.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just say I just think LeBron's on a mission, and he clearly wants this the way he's playing. You saw him last night. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so I'm going to just say Lakers. But the Pacers, man, they got this us against the world mentality. I don't know if you heard Frank Vogel after the game last night, you know, basically saying nobody wanted us here and nobody expected us to be here. And it's like, dude, it's the in-season tournament. Calm down, man. It's not like the NBA Finals, but they have a little chip on their shoulder,
yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle. Yeah, he did say that. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Pacers just because I want them to win, just because I really would prefer they win. Now, you know, for years, you haven't heard too much about it lately, but for years a conversation would come up, sports media, newspapers, radio, what's the toughest thing to do in sports? And traditionally, the answer is always, you know, oh, hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, which it's hard to disagree with. But to me, Kyle, I know you've played, coached basketball. Mm-hmm. To me, one of the hardest things to do in sports, honestly, and it's something that Mike Brown says his team needs to be better at, it's closing out on a shooter in basketball. Guy makes a catch, and you have to charge him to defend him when you don't know if he's going to put the ball on the deck or not. He could dribble right around you. It's really difficult to do well. Would you agree?
100%. And not only is it difficult, it's more difficult than it ever has been in the history of basketball because everybody can dribble now. Everybody has handles. And everybody can shoot now almost. It would be different if, you know, Ben Wallace was out there at the three-point line. You know, you just, you know, go ahead. You got that. But yeah. Now with everybody's ability to shoot and dribble, it's like you're at the mercy of the player.
Yeah, and Mike Brown was talking about that at practice, and we've got some comments from him on something else in just a moment. But he said, we're not closing out. We're closing out short. What he meant was, you know, we're coming out, but we're not coming out far enough. And again, he said, well, you got,
right. You
know, like Herb Jones, and he's with 6'10". If you close out short, he's just going to shoot over you. You know, you come out and you put your hand up. Well, he's big enough where it's not going to matter. So coach says we have to close out more effectively. It's really, really hard. But it's one thing he looks at as we say, how do they need to play better defense? He says, that's one thing that we need to start doing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Another thing Coach Brown said at practice this week is he wants the Kings to get out and push pace. And here he explains why that's important.
A lot of guys want the ball to bring it up. And so we got two or three guys doing this as soon as the rebound happens, instead of just putting your head down and sprinting down the floor and sprinting to the corners or sprinting to the rim. That's one thing. And then the second thing is our wings don't run. They don't put their head down and just get to the corner. You know, because when you get to the corner, it flattens out the defense. But we don't do a great job of doing that. And we've talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it. We'll continue to show film on it. And like I said, hopefully in time, we'll get better with it.
Really interesting to me, Kyle, because you hear a lot of teams talk about and work on transition defense, going from offense to defense, how tough that is. And Mike Brown's saying we need to be better at transitioning from defense to offense.
You know, I was at my son's basketball game yesterday, and I saw the exact same thing that Mike Brown is talking about. And you would think at the professional level, they wouldn't have this issue, but it's sort of like Mike said, first of all, three or four guys turning around looking for the ball with their hand out. But yeah, exactly. I'm here. But secondly, also, it's just that delayed reaction could be the difference between an open shot and not. And I'm watching 9-3 basketball, and it's like guys are just jogging back. Like I've been in some of the practices this year for the Kings, and that drives Mike Brown crazy. He has gotten on multiple guys about not sprinting. And so it's not for a lack of trying from the head coach, because he is preaching this day in and day out. He wants to play fast. He wants to run. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, you know, maybe it's like Kevin Herter said, you know, they're focusing so much on defense. But once you get that ball, you know who else is, you know, when I watch it, like Domas is guilty too of it. Hmm. It's like, you know, especially Domas, when you think that, you know, he's so used to having the ball in his hands, grabbing the rebound and going, but he's guilty as everybody else. It's like the way the Kings play, it's not the old school NBA, Whitey. You know how it is, where, all right, let me get it to Bob Cousy, and Bob has to, you know, bounce it up himself. Everybody on the floor can handle the ball. And I don't understand why guys just aren't getting out and running and sprinting down.
Yeah, in my experience, the very best coaches will tell you, you're always accomplishing something. Even if the ball's on the other side of the floor, you're not going to get it. Well, you need to sprint to your spot to create spacing, something. You need to square up to the basket and then get ready to make a cut. But when you just got guys and they're kind of, you know, well, I'll catch my breath here a little bit, jogging down the floor, it's just a lost opportunity. And it sounds to me like that's one of the things Mike Brown is trying to get his team more aware of.
Yeah, and I wonder, and we had this discussion to start the season, would that hunger from the Kings be there? We were both at media day. We talked to the players. They said all the right things. They said they were hungry. The loss to Golden State motivated them. But, you know, it's hard to do it year in and year out. And that's why the greats are the greats. The great teams are the great teams. And so I wonder if the hunger is there as much. You know, they got on a run last year. The goal was to get to the playoffs in that streak, in that drought. And now what's the goal now? It's more, it's not as a finite goal. It's not a goal that you can touch. It's sort of a big picture goal almost. It's like to play your best possible basketball. Well, that's hard to, you know, quantify and grab onto and have as a goal. And so I wonder if these guys are, you know, maybe not as hungry after making the playoffs last season.
Mm-hmm. To that point, some people are wondering if the 49ers will be as hungry this week after beating, you know, the Eagles. When we come back, we'll look at that. Interesting note on the Seahawks injury report today. And Jamal Adams of the Seahawks is standing by his tweet, which is clearly over the line. Wow, that and more when we come right back here. It's a Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Brought to you in part by the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. It's Whitey Gleason. Kyle Draper in San Francisco. He's, of course, getting ready for pregame duties, but you'll be back in the Bay Sunday, not San Francisco, but Santa Clara, right, Kyle?
Yes, Santa Clara, and I need some help because I'm going to this Niners-Seahawks game. I'm going to wear neutral colors, Whitey. I thought about wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey or some Eagles stuff, but I don't want to get thumped on. But here's let me put this question out there to my people on YouTube, and you could also text us in as well, 916-339-1140. I don't have parking yet, so I'm about to buy some parking, and I'm not exactly sure. Or what time should I leave? Also, what is it, a 1:15 kickoff, I think it is. And so I was thinking 9. Is that too late? Should I get up and get out on the road at 7? I don't know. This is my first time going to Santa Clara, so I need some help, man.
You know what's great, and it might not be practical for you, depending on who you're going with and what you got going on. A really convenient way is to go down to the Hyatt, which is like right there, and then you stay there overnight, and then you park at the hotel because you're a guest of the hotel. You literally can walk to the stadium. A lot of people do that.
That's an inside move right there. Some inside knowledge. Unfortunately, I got the kids. So,
right. Yeah, I know.
I'm not. Yeah.
Family out.
And we're
okay.
Taking my son's friend also. And so I don't want to be around them more than I have to be. So,
yeah. I understand. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get some good advice for you. By the way, you may not see a player you expected to see in that game because popping up on the Seahawks injury report today is a guy by the name of Geno Smith.
What?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Geno Smith, questionable. He missed practice, and he's listed as questionable. I believe it's a groin strain. So I would think questionable, he's probably going to play. But we didn't know about that injury. So, limited participant due to a groin strain, and his arm still is not 100% because of a previous injury there. So he came up on the injury report today as questionable for the big game on Sunday.
Niners catching more breaks. I tell you, has any team in the NFL? Because this is the Seahawks season right here. They got to win this game. I mean, they're in danger of dropping a 6-7, and their playoff hopes are dim. Oh, I think he's going to go. If not, it's Drew Lock. I mean, this is a big game.
Now you're disappointed.
I'm nervous about my Eagles, man. I need Seattle to win this game, Whitey. Uh-huh. I need them to win, baby.
Yeah,
the Eagles can have that advantage. My God,
the Eagles defense, and I'm not coming after you here. We've done that. We did that, and you were a great sport about it. The Eagles defense has played so poorly, and I figure, well, you know, there's reasons for that. Tough schedule. They played a lot of games in a relatively short time frame. So I'll be interested to see if the Eagles bounce back this week or not. If they don't bounce back this week, then I don't think they are who at least I thought they were. But we'll have to see.
What?
I mean, they've been getting rolled. Right?
But hold on. You said the Eagles, if they don't win?
If their defense doesn't show up this week, if the defense doesn't make their presence felt against the Cowboys, then I don't know
What would their record be, Whitey? What would their record be?
If they lose, they'd be it'd be their third loss. Three. But yeah, but I'm talking about as far as we're talking about the very best of the best here. I'm not comparing them to like those dogs that played last night, you know, the Steelers and the Patriots, which by the way, I watched because the basketball game was so terrible last night. I ended up watching that of a game.
I'm just saying they beat Kansas City. They beat Dallas.
They beat Buffalo. Yeah.
Like their quality of losses is actually better than the quality of losses of a team in Santa Clara. I'm just saying.
Quality of losses. Okay, that's an interesting.
That's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing.
But seriously, I'm not coming after you. The defense has not been good.
No, they haven't been good.
Yeah, they need to play well this week defensively against the Cowboys. And if they do, I think their house is back in order.
I agree. Because the Cowboys offense is up there. You know, obviously it's not the Niners, but it's on that tier below. And if you could somehow hold them to 17 points, 20 points, I think that's a statement. Or you could get Rickrolled. You could get rolled. Like Dak and the boys could put up 35, 36 MVP. On you. And so,
yeah. Dak could be the MVP.
This might be it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if the Eagles do for Dak's MVP case what they did for Brock Purdy's last week.
We helped Purdy out, man. I tell you. We helped him.
I want to know what you think of this. Jamal Adams of the Seahawks. He's got a little back and forth with a reporter. And he posted something on social media because he was upset with a reporter. And a lot of people are saying on social media that, no, you shouldn't have done that. Even Pete Carroll is saying, yeah, that's crossed the line. But Jamal Adams is saying, nope, he said what he said, and I'm saying what I say. Now, this is a reporter who covered Adams during his time with the Jets. And there was this reporter. I honestly don't know the name of the reporter. The reporter,
Connor Hughes. I got it right here.
Okay.
Connor Hughes.
The reporter posted a video of Adams allowing the go-ahead touchdown pass in a loss to the Cowboys. Okay, so there's a video. And then the reporter, Connor Hughes, puts yikes underneath that. Yikes. So Jamal Adams didn't care for that. So what he did was, on X, he posted a picture of the reporter's wife, and underneath he put yikes. And I don't think, and he's saying, hey, he said what he said. I'm not backing down. I said what I said. The wife didn't have anything to do with it. Why are you taking shots at her? To me, I understand his frustration, and I'm sure that the reporter felt that a little bit, but a little unnecessary roughness in my opinion, Kyle.
Yeah, anytime you bring in family members.
Yeah.
It's off. It's off. You can't do that.
Uh-huh.
If you want to take a shot at Connor Hughes himself, go for it. But to bring in his wife, who's an innocent bystander,
right,
in all this, that's not right. Let me share with you really quickly here, Whitey, some of the things that Connor Hughes has said about Jamal Adams. And you tell me if this is crossing the line here. Jamal Adams looked like he wanted no part of trying to tackle JD or Gibson before they went into the end zone. That's not going to look pretty on film. I'm sure he'll share a photo of the interception that fell right into his hands, though. That was one.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks are now 2-4. The Jets own their first round pick. They own that pick after trading Seattle Jamal Adams. Adams had a potential game changing interception bounce off his face. He has zero interceptions since the Seahawks acquired him. So I see Jamal Adams still can't catch. Jamal Adams is unreal near the line of scrimmage. He is a liability in coverage. And so there's been sort of this, you know, and I'm not saying Connor's wrong or right or anything like that, but Jamal Adams clearly thought this guy has been coming at him for, you know, years and years and time and game and game again. And then his frustration got the best of him with that tweet, not condoning it, but it seemed a little personal from Connor Hughes, too.
I hear you.
You know,
he was asking for it. The reporter was asking for it, just not quite asking for this. And Jamal Adams said, I hate that I had to bring her into the situation. But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal was to get at him. So
he had to do it. He said, I had to do it.
I had no choice. All right. Have fun Sunday. When we come back, you know, the Kings and the Suns tonight. The record is better. The Kings so far, are they better than they were last year? It's next. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.